starting a new series called Farewell 2020. I get it, but I just felt like this first month, I want to talk about saying goodbye to a bunch of junk. I don't think it's something you can get done in one sermon. I think it's something God is doing to get rid of some stuff. And it's not about 2020. Something that happened in 1996. Somebody has something that happened in 1996 that's still trailing you today. It was a decision you made, something you did, and it still haunts you. It's saying this stuff is cutting off. And this is going to be a month of the Wednesday nights prayer. And it's God's just, you're saying, you're letting go of some things. Bye-bye. Philippians 3:13, I'm going to kind of use as kind of the hitching post for the series, okay? And if you want to look up on the screens, it says this. The Apostle Paul says this to the church in Philippi, the believers in the church of Philippi. He says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Paul said, here's the deal. He's calling all of us, but I've made my decision that I'm going to forget, I'm going to focus, I'm going to press, I'm going to reach. It's for all of us. Here's what I'm going to do. But what are you going to do? He starts personally, but he says, it's not just about me. It is your choice to receive what he said you could receive. So don't look at me or one of the musicians up here and say they're so spiritual. They jump up and down. They dance. I don't worship like they. So God's got something more special than them. No, he says it's for all of us. Here's my decision. What about yours? How many are ready to say, sayonara 2020, hello 2021, amen? It's for all of us. Oh, come on. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be a bad year for the devil. Just tell him, say, it's going to be a bad year for the devil. You can be seated in the house of God. I know a lot of people have been ripping on 2020. Poor 2020. 2020, all these pastors, I remember started with 2020 vision. I didn't. I didn't do it. I didn't feel like we were supposed to do it. It was, in fact, it was about looking back. It was about building the foundation. Because you don't build the foundation, you can't survive the storm that's coming to you. I remember that. I just really felt like it wasn't about 2020 vision. It was about being strong, building the foundation of things. And I really feel like the Spirit of God is circling back around, and I'm gonna kind of talk to you a little bit about this kind of prophetically, what we have a sense of for 2021. Maybe different than other people, but I think we're all pretty much in the same vein here. But boy, poor 2020. How many have seen the memes about 2020? How many have seen them? I just think they're hilarious, you know? I like the one, if 2020 was a bag of potato chips. Orange juice and toothpaste. How many of you love that one? I got a little noise here. If 2020 was a slide. I don't know, but when I see that one, I really almost felt like I probably shouldn't show this one. But every time I look at it, my backside just tightens up. Just tightens up. How about just tighten up? Just tighten up. Just start clenching. And this one's my favorite. If 2020 was a scented candle. I know we're not even there, but can you smell it? I can just smell it. And for each one of us, all of us could line up and say, yeah, this one I could check off, 2020. This one I could check off. We all corporately have felt some things. But I'm going to tell you, there's some great things that God was doing in 2020. For you and me, great supernatural things that we don't even pay attention to. And you know, let's be careful that we don't diss 2020, because God was doing things in 2020 that were setting us up for what he's doing in 21. But it is kind of funny, right? But what I do want to say is there are some things we want to say farewell to. It's time to say goodbye to some things that just didn't happen in 2020. But like I said, there's somebody here in 1996, you did something and you still can't get over it. And it's time for you to say, get out. You're not controlling me anymore. You know, it's time to say good riddance, 2020. A Vita saying, adios, whatever language you want to put it in. And hello, 2021. God, what do you have for me in 2021? So Paul is saying, what he's saying here, he's saying, listen, there are some things we got to say farewell to. It's old things. It's past things that can hinder you. There are some past things that are great. But the problem is that sometimes those great things we start worshiping and all of a sudden that thing which was once a guidepost has now become a hitching post and you can't move on to the best things God has for you now. The things God did for us in the past are great. They're great rudders, but they can't be anchors. They direct you to the better things of God, the better things of God. And he's saying farewell to these old things, the past, but welcome the new things. And the new thing is the prize of the high calling of God. How many believe it's time for, it's not, listen, I know you may think this. Some of you are watching at home and some of you just, you're not even giving your life to Jesus Christ yet. You came here, you're not even sold out to Jesus yet. And you're saying, yeah, that's good for you. You're a preacher. No, Paul said, this is for all of us, but I've made my choice. What about you, Dad? What about you, single person? What about you, spouse? What about you? How many say, I'm ready to make those choices to say goodbye and hello to what God has for us? Amen? But I want to look at this for a moment, and we're going to just go through a journey of some of these things and kind of what we've been feeling. But I feel like the first thing that Paul is wanting to say through us through the Word is we got to say goodbye to something, farewell to something. And I really believe this is happening in the body of Christ prophetically, that we are saying farewell to apathy in the church of the United States of America. I'm going to tell you there are baptized pagans in buildings all across this country. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. But I truly believe that the spiritual stagnation, we've had enough of it. And I know it's so easy to blame somebody. Well, the reason I'm out of church is they hurt me in church. I get it, I'm not trivializing the pain someone brought on you. Well, my parents would have done this, I'd be in church. Just stop it. You are responsible for the spiritual stagnation and apathy in your life. My church just didn't treat me good enough and tell me I was a priest. That's not your fault, that's my fault if I remain to allow that to be my anchor. Sila. Now, okay. I really believe that he's saying goodbye to apathy in my life. Let's go to verse 10, okay? Let's stay, hang there in Philippians for a moment. And this is what he says. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to experience that. I want to suffer with him because I can't have that unless I go through some suffering. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I'm telling you that your body cannot contain the glory he has. It cannot. He said, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. Look at this guy. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. He said, the reason why Jesus possessed me is because he knew that that perfection was there for me. He knew it. I just got to know what he knows about me, that I'm striving for that perfection of Jesus. And so what Paul is saying, he says, I'm trying to tell you that I've not already reached that perfection. What he's really saying there is I've not arrived. Now, see, Paul was sanctified, but he wasn't satisfied. I come to church all the time dissatisfied. Not dissatisfied with the music, not dissatisfied with the ministry here. Dissatisfied when I allow myself to become stagnant and I'm not growing in Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying, he says, I've not yet perfected. Now, when you see the word perfected, you're going, that's what we're looking for. When we're flawless and we're absolutely perfect. I know that there'll be absolute perfection in heaven. I understand that. But when he's talking about I have not yet perfected, it doesn't mean flawless. That's not what it means there. The word actually, when you see it broken down in the Greek, is the word mature. Write that down. It's mature. It's not perfect. See, because people go, that's all they want there at church is perfect people. No. He says, I haven't yet fully matured. So Paul is saying there's plenty of room for me to grow in Christ. And what Paul is getting here is Paul was mature enough to know that he was not mature enough. I see some believers, I don't think they ought to ever take a notepad out and take notes because they got it already, they know it all already. I don't need to be at prayer meeting because I got all that covered. Paul is saying the sign of maturity is knowing you're not mature. If you really want to know Christ, growing in Christ, the mark of maturity is to continuously realize just how immature you are. I pray to God that if the Lord tarries and I'm sucking in air at 100 years old, I hope I feel still immature and that there's so much room for Pastor Sam to grow. Because when you don't, you get stagnant. Haven't you ever been a stagnant believer? You know what happens? They just seem to whine a lot. They get more critical about things. But when you get close to the Lord too, everything becomes new to you every morning. You know, I still like calling my mom, 91 years of age, just sharp as she can be, can't move as quick anymore. But I love when I hear her say to me, you know, Sam, when I read the word, I'm learning new things. 91, takes notes, listens to my preaching all the time. She thinks I'm the greatest preacher in the world. And don't know, one of you tell her different, amen, just keep it up. So what Paul is saying, he says, what I wanna do is I want to know Christ. Now let me explain that. There's a difference in knowing Christ and knowing about Christ. Here's what's gonna happen in America. You're gonna find the people who know about Jesus versus the people who know Jesus. The chasm is gonna get wider and wider and wider and wider and wider and wider. It's gonna be evident to the world. It's gonna be evident. See, it's one thing to know about, and there's one to know. I know about Justin Bieber. I know about Justin. I know about him, but I don't know him. Now, I know Brenda. I don't know about her alone. I know Brenda. I know my children. I know my grandson. I know them. And the only reason why I know them is because I've invested time with them, and only by investing time with them do I know. And let me tell you, I've been married to this wonderful lady for almost 31 years, and do you know I'm still learning things? It's an acquired knowledge, seriously. Do you know why? Because the person you married 35, 36 years ago is not the same person now.
That's right.
If you'll understand that, you'll realize you got to marry your spouse over about 5 or 6 times in the lifetime of your marriage. Did you hear what I said? They're not the same person when they got married. There may be some things, but things have changed in them. And you gotta be willing to marry them all over again, because that's the reason why the world makes it disposable marriages, is because that's not the person I married. Well, it's not. Things can change. And you gotta say, I'll marry you all over again, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I didn't know I was gonna get on that one, but see, I know it's an acquired knowledge of knowing her. I know her, and it's acquired all the time. 31 years almost, and I'm still acquiring knowledge. Her styles have changed. Her hair color has changed. I said, you do whatever you want this year, baby. It's yours. I'm good with it. It's just hair, she said. But it's in this that there's growth that occurs between my wife and me, my children and me, because it's an acquired knowledge. So here's the deal, friends, you got understanding. Getting to know Christ is not something that happens by accident. It is something that is intentional that has to grow. How many of you like making money? Okay, there's some of you don't like making it. Just hand it over then. Just we'll take it. But you know what? You've studied your 401k plans. You are trying to find out where to invest. Some of you are only 21 years of age. You got some more saved up than some people that are 65 years of age because you've been investing your money. You've been managing your money. You're wondering how I'm going to spend it. Now listen, the reason why your money grows is because you're studying it. You're investing time and it grows. Can I tell you that it is the exact same thing when it comes to your marriage, that you have to invest in it if you want it to grow? If you want your relationship, when people tell me, oh, I just tell you what, I'm going to church. I'm just not going to church anymore. I'm not being fed. Let me tell you what's happening. You are probably not investing in the relationship in the house of God. Because anything that I invest in, that is what grows. The reason my relationship with Justin Bieber is not growing is because he's invested no time in me. Who does he think he is? Hasn't called. Sam, do you know who I am? The reason why this relationship grows, and I'm going to defend this person and give my life for her before Justin Bieber, is because I know about him, but I know her. And the things you invest in are the things that you cherish. It's the things that grow. You want to grow in this church? I just didn't make any relationships. Well, you probably didn't get in a small group. Because only things that you intentionally invest in are the things that grow, you give your time to. Well, I didn't get nothing out of church. Well, how much did you pray for me this morning before I preached? Well, my marriage is just dead. Well, just exactly how much time did you investigate to find out what is changing in their life? Hello, 21. That's why I'm going to encourage you. Some of you are watching online, and what happens is so many people get distance in a church, and what happens, especially during the pandemic, people are going to get this habit of being more distance. We want to have the online campus. It'll always be here, but at some point, it can be comfortable that I don't have to invest in other people that sometimes I don't even like. But when you get in a small group, and you get in a church, and you get in a family, there are people in your own family you don't like. But you keep on investing, and then you see the blessing, and then you see the drawbacks, and you see the investment, and you see the blessings. Can I tell you, it's the same thing in the house of God. I want to encourage every single person that you say, Pastor, I feel like God's drawing me to this place. Well, if you really want to grow in Christ, let me tell you, take the grow track. It starts at 12 o'clock today, strike of 12. It's online. It's so easy. Get on there. There's going to be people on there, and you can start finding out who you are in Christ. What's my part in the body? But it's not going to happen outside of you saying, I want to intentionally grow in Jesus Christ. So the question that I have to have for me and for you, here's the question. Here's the sobering question you need to ask yourself. Am I growing up or am I stagnant? Have I become apathetic? Because you're going to see a great divide in 21 of the apathetic church and the church that is investing in the relationship of knowing Jesus alone. Check up. I like what 2 Corinthians 13:5 says in the Message translation. Test yourself to make sure you are solid in the faith. Make sure you're solid in the faith. Not just saying, I know about Jesus. No, I know him. In the real time of life, watch this. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Don't just say, I know about him. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. See, following Christ is a decision, but that decision is always followed by intentional development in your life. See, because there's a lot of people that decide to follow Christ. They signed the card when they went up front for the Billy Graham crusade. They decided to follow Christ, but they never developed. They never placed themselves in intentional growth patterns whereby the apathy would be pushed out of their heart. And boy, I tell you what, how many know it can happen so easy? And here's what Paul is saying. Paul was so successful. Why was Paul successful? He was successful because he never thought himself to be successful. He said, I reach it, but then I move on and go deeper and deeper in Jesus Christ. In fact, here's what he said. He was so pursued with wanting to know Jesus Christ that in verse 8, you go read it. I won't have it up there, but go read it. He said, everything is worthless compared to knowing Jesus Christ. In fact, let me tell you what I call it. I call it a big, piling, steaming heap of poo. That's what he said. It's dung if it doesn't include growing and knowing Jesus Christ. He called it a pile of dung. Think about that. He said, the only thing that's important, now think about this for a minute. This guy had seen the risen Savior, Lord Paul, the apostle. He had gone into the third heaven and saw things that he says were just, I can't even tell you about them. He was the world's greatest preacher, the world's greatest church planner, had the greatest revelation that God gave to him. And yet here is this guy who's had all that. And he says, you know what I've discovered? I still need to know more about Jesus. I'm not what I ought to be yet. See, I believe that people who are full of God are empty of themselves. And this is why it's so important for you and me to keep knowing God and knowing God and knowing God and knowing God. And I know some of you say, yeah, I need to go to another conference. I need to get in the, no. Can I just tell you that knowing God is what Pastor Kerry read, if you did not listen to that New Year's Eve, that Paul said to the believers in Corinth, he says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, so your minds will be led astray from your pure, sincere devotion to Christ. It is that simplicity of wanting to be with him. It is not about trying to just memorize scripture and hear the greatest revelation from Steve Furtick or some great preacher. It is to say, God, ultimately what I want to know is you. In the suffering, in whatever I'm going through, reveal what you want to reveal to me about you. The simplicity of that. See, I want to be in a powerful service. I want to be around by the power. I want to be around the glory of God. I do too. But let me tell you something. Gas is useless if it's not contained. Steam is useless if it's not contained. Only when the gasoline is contained in a chamber of a cylinder that it fires and power begins to hit. And the chamber is the simple devotion and the structure of things. There are people that give themselves no structure to a prayer life to communicate with God. No structure to read the Word of God and say, what do you want to say to me, Lord? No structure to say, Father, can you show me how to deal with this issue? Because they don't have the restraint of the Word. They don't have the discipline of being together with the family of God, the discipline of being in community with God's people. And as a result, they have no power. There's no movement because gas and steam is only powerful when it is contained in discipline of sincere devotion, not stagnation. How are we doing so far, everybody? So here's what we're going to say to 21, everybody. Farewell, apathy of 2020. Hello, 2021. This is my year of growing in God, learning in God, serving in God, stretching in God, and changing in Christ from glory to glory. How many are ready to say hello to that in 21? You're going to see it. You're going to see it so much that the sin is going to be exposed of the apathetic church. It's going to ramp up in 21. So don't you be shocked, because I don't care if they can raise the dead. I don't care if they do prophesy. I don't care what they do, the signs. I don't care how intellectual they are. The apathetic church is going to get more exposed, and don't be shocked. Your responsibility is not to judge. Your responsibility is to drive into the pure, sincere devotion of Jesus Christ, that everybody can see the glory and the power of God. Oh, how many are ready for 2021? The hunger, the desire, the passion for more Jesus in the simplest forms. Just know him. I'm getting blessed. Okay, here's the second and the last thing I'm gonna talk about today. Don't applaud. It's time to say farewell to not just apathy, but farewell to anguish. Farewell to your regrets. Look what he said in verse 13. He said, and circle these words, okay? Just circle them or underline them, however you want to do it, in your app or whatever. He says, I focus, circle that, on this one thing, forgetting, circle that, the past, and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press, circle that, on to reach, circle that, the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling. Notice these words that there's verb, there's action. You got to focus, you got to forget, you got to press. You got to focus, you forgot to forget, you got to press. It's going to be a constant thing like that as you go through 21. Okay, I've got to refocus, I got to forget this, and I got to press. There's something greater because focus determines your future. Let me say, your focus is what determines your future. It's where you're gonna go. In fact, the Latin word for focus literally means hearth, like a fireplace. How many have a fireplace in your home? Everybody wants to get around it. It warms. It used to be that's where all the cooking was done. That means that where all the provision came out of. It was the center. It was the hub of the house. Everybody was focused on that one thing, and that's what focus means. It's the heart. It's what warms your heart. It's what feeds you. You gotta stay focused on that. How many know that focus is crucial? Do you know even the world understands focus? They don't understand, you know, they get to a place of focusing on things that don't really mean things at the end of the day, but they get things done because they're focused. I mean, how many love Mickey Mouse? That was Walt Disney's success. He found it in something he focused on, and it was that mouse. That's what he focused on. Billions and billions of dollars made because he was focused on a mouse. You don't believe me? Walt Disney himself said this. He says, I love Mickey Mouse more than any woman I've ever known. Weird, right? Little weirdo. Walt was a little bit of a weirdo. Was a weirdo, but he was a focused weirdo. Come on. Look what he's achieved. And look, people get there, the most wonderful place in the whole world, but when they leave, the kids are screaming, parents are cussing each other because they want the kids to be quiet, and the most wonderful experience is gone in a flash. So, don't nod your head. Don't give your kid away and don't give yourself away. You know what I'm talking about. But that was because of focus. Could you imagine what the child of God could accomplish if they focused everything on one thing, is to know Jesus Christ? That's what you do, loving a mouse more than women. Could you imagine what would happen to the child of God if our focus was getting on Jesus Christ, to know him? And when you get your focus on Jesus, you can start forgetting the anguish of your past. So Paul was saying here is you can't focus on where you're going until you forget where you've been. Now, I love this language because what Paul's using, he's using athletic language as a runner runs the race. Now, look, a runner can never win the race by constantly looking over his shoulder while he's running. He cannot do it. These are athletic terms he's using. And you cannot run forward to what God has in 21 for your marriage, for your walk with Christ, if you're always looking at the past of I woulda, shoulda, coulda done all these things. You got to say farewell to the regret. You can't change where you've been, but you can change where you're going, but you can't change where you're going if you're constantly looking at the past. There's no way. So Paul says, I got to fix my focus on the one goal, and the goal is knowing Christ. That's the goal, to know him. I love what he uses the word. He uses the word the end of the race, or he said the goal, or uses the word end of the race, which in the Greek was the word goal. It literally means, it is the word scopos. It's where you get the word telescope. That's what it does. It means to look at. It means to mark your eye on something fixed. It's the word scopos, where you get telescope, where something's far away, I haven't reached it yet, but I keep bringing it in close by the Spirit of God. I keep bringing it in close by the word. I keep bringing in close by being around the right people. I haven't reached my family yet being saved, but I can see it far off, and I keep bringing in through my intercession. I don't have my healing yet, but I keep bringing it in by clinging to God's word, by doing things that I can do naturally and let God do the supernatural. I keep bringing in close, and he says, because I want the prize, a reward for finishing a race. Now, here's what the deal is. That word prize in the Greek is closely related to the word umpire. Isn't that crazy? The word prize there in the Greek also meant umpire. So what he's saying, that thing that's just distant over there, when I keep bringing it close to me, it umpires everything else in my life. It says, this person you're dating is a strikeout. Focus back on the right thing. It says, this thing you're going after and chasing, don't. This one, you want to chase because I'm going to use it to help show my glory. He's saying, let everything that you do call the shots and the decisions in your life, for your married life, for your work life, for your financial life, for your health life. He said, take it and bring it in. He says, leave the past and start bringing in. So Paul is saying, I got to say farewell to some things. And he had some things to say farewell to, don't you know it? We put Apostle Paul way up here. But he says, I still haven't attained. And he says, I'm still processing all this stuff. He says, because here's something I got to say goodbye to. I got to say goodbye to guilt in my life. Because Paul was a murderer. He was a blasphemer of God and what God was doing. He was a persecutor of the church, the Christians. He would have despised you before his salvation, would despise people like you and me, and made sure we were put away. That's what he had to live with, that guilt of Satan, constantly bringing it up. And how many believers do you think brought it up to him? You might see someone ushering in this church that you know used to smoke pot with your kid that got him high. I can't believe they're in here. Can you believe that they just let anybody serve in this place? Well, you don't know what God's done in their life. Could you imagine the guilt that he had when people kept reminding him of what he did? Yeah, you were the one holding the jackets while my cousin twice removed, Stephen, was being stoned. You think I'm going to listen to your teaching, Paul? You forget it. He says, I got to say goodbye to the guilt of what I did. I don't know what it might be for you, ma'am, sir. I don't know what it might be for you, the person from 1996, but you got to start saying farewell to the guilt of what Satan is using to hold you hostage and start moving to what God has. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. And then you got to say goodbye to grudges, because here's what happens. Resentment starts getting your heart when you have a vision from God and God calls you, but people don't receive you. That's what happened to him. You got to just keep moving on. Could you imagine the resentment? Paul suffered terribly, everybody, terribly. He follows Jesus Christ. He's been beaten with three times with rod, left at the city for dead. He's been shipwrecked because he's falsely accused. He's been scorned. He's been left for dead. He's been alienated. He's been ostracized from his family. He's following in the way of Jesus Christ. They think he's lost his mind. He's been falsely accused. And guess what he has to do? He's got to keep letting that go, not just in 2020, but throughout 2021. You can't stay in the ministry like this and let what people do keep you offended. You'll never reach the prize of what God has, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's someone you don't know. You got to let go. And let me tell you, there's been a lot of trash that's happened in this nation. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy is going to try to keep people hostage in the offense, but not the children of God. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. You are letting go of things. Doesn't mean that we trivialize it. Doesn't mean we don't talk about it, but you got to start reaching to what God has for me. Because the only reason the enemy is trying to hang you up with resentment, with guilt, with all that stuff, is because he knows what God has in the prize awaiting you. He's got to do everything to divert you. But come on, how many know you and I, we are smart believers and we are pressing toward the prize of the high calling of God. So today, this morning, some of you are going to have to say farewell to your spiritual apathy. Grandpa, you got to say farewell to your spiritual apathy. Church member, you're going to have to say farewell to the things you've been holding in closet conduct, because I'm going to tell you, it's going to get exposed. It's going to get exposed. For every one of us, it's going to get exposed. This is the year where God is stirring a fire of passion for him in his people. Stirring up. And it's time for us to forget the anguish. Stop saying, well, those people over there, they just don't treat me right, so I'm leaving the church. No, 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 no. Well, welcome to the body of Christ. Well, they're a bunch of hypocrites, and that's why I don't go to church. I told you that's why we're not going to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites. Well, let me tell you, yes, there are hypocrites in the church. I told you, there's the apathetic, and then there's the passionate that are growing and learning. But how are we going to, we're not, of course there are hypocrites in church. Here's what bothers me. If the hypocrites are in church and you're not because of the hypocrite, at least the hypocrite's closer to God than you are. God, they wouldn't even hear what I'm saying. The hypocrite wouldn't even hear what I'm saying if they left. And there are people going,
well, that's the reason why I don't go to the church anymore.
No, it's time to say goodbye to that, because there's a lot of good, great people in the body of Christ than there are squirrels in the body of Christ. I'll tell you that right now. How many know there are jerks in the body of Christ? There's a lot of Jesus lovers in the body of Christ, more than that. You got to forget and move forward with God. Now, you say, you just telling me to just, no, forget does not mean fail to remember. That's not what it means. Okay? Doesn't mean you just let people use you like a floor mat. That's not what it means. Not what it means at all. Doesn't mean you don't say something and have conversations, because Matthew 18 requires we have conversations. That's how we mature people, right? Forget does not mean fail to remember. Forget means, in the Bible, it means to no longer be influenced by or to be affected by that thing of the past. It doesn't influence me. It doesn't affect me. I can deal with it, but it's not going to influence me from moving away from Christ, my affection for the body. It's not going to affect my faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what comes to me, what suffering comes to me, it's not going to affect my love and my pursuit of the prize of knowing Him. How many are glad God doesn't let our past affect the way He responds to us? Amen. Come on. I know some of you going, oh no, not me, Pastor Sam. I'm so holy. When I came out of the womb, there was a glow around my head. I still had that glow. I've never done anything. I'm just spiritual. Here's what God says. This is what I'm grateful for God. Hebrews 10:17, the word says, I will never again, Sam, remember your sins and your lawless deeds. I will never again, Sam. Does this mean that God has amnesia and He has a bad memory? That He's just this old, decrepit old man that can't remember what he said 2 minutes ago? No, what He says is, I will no longer allow your sin to affect our relationship together. It's not going to affect our relationship. You give it to me, now come on and start knowing me better. And watch me change you from glory to glory into my image. How many believe, friends, it's time to say hello to everything God has for us in 21. Amen. Oh.